Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Triveni Engineering & Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishab Barar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good day, everyone, and a warm welcome to all of you participating in the Triveni Engineering & Industries Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Tarun Sawhney, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Suresh Taneja, Group CFO, Mr. Sameer Sinha, CEO, Sugar Business Group, as well as other members of the senior management team. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature, and a statement to this effect has been included in the invite, which has been shared with everyone earlier. I would like also to emphasize that while this call is open to all invitees, it may not be broadcasted or reproduced in any form or manner. We will commence the call with opening remarks from the management, following an interactive question-and-answer session. May I now hand it over to Mr. Tarun Sawhney? Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rishab. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q1 fiscal 2024 earnings conference call for Triveni Engineering & Industries Limited. We're pleased with the performance of the company during the quarter ended June 30th, 2023. While there has been general low trend of recovery in the just-concluded sugar season 2022-2023, the company has, however, outperformed the state of Uttar Pradesh during that same period, with a decline of only 23 basis points from a C-heavy basis recovery, which bodes rather well when we compare ourselves to our peers. Our engineering businesses, actually, during the same period, continued to perform well with healthy order books and inquiry pipelines. We continue to diversify our revenue base, with alcohol and engineering contributing to 60% of our total segment results. Looking at some of the highlights, in sugar and the alcohol distillery business, we achieved a blended sugar realization of 37,254 rupees per metric ton, which is an increase of 5.6% over the corresponding period of the previous year. This was supported by high export realizations and relatively firmer domestic realizations. We achieved the highest-ever quarterly alcohol production of 5.04 crore liters, an increase of 19% over the corresponding previous period due to additional capacities and expansions that were commissioned. The increase in net turnover of the alcohol business was by 21% during Q1 fiscal 2024, driven by higher capacities. Within the engineering business, both businesses achieved a combined increase in turnover of just under 25%, bolstered by the power transmission business, which reported robust revenue and profitability growth. The order booking for the power transmission business grew 21.3% year-on-year, with an order book of 271.6 crores, up 11.6% year-on-year. The outstanding order book, of course, for the combined engineering business stood at 1,613 crores. Looking at the consolidated financials, our net turnover declined by 2.3%, primarily driven by lower turnover of the sugar business, which was directly attributed to lower quotas during the quarter. The alcohol and aggregate engineering turnovers improved, as I had mentioned, over the previous corresponding period. The sugar turnover declined by 15.2% as compared to the previous period after considering exports. This was because of a decline of 20.7% in domestic sales volume due to lower domestic quota allocations. we had, as you will recollect, we had completed the majority of our export quotas in the previous quarter, and therefore the benefits for export over there were achieved in that quarter. In addition, we did not convert any juice, and therefore there were some preferential quota allocations. Looking forward, over the course of this quarter and the next quarter, we will find that there will be a balancing of all of this, and we will return to previously forecast levels of quotas this quarter and looking forward. The profit before tax increased during this period by 2.6% to 91 crores. The total debt on a standalone basis for the company on June 30th stood at 918.5 crores compared to 825 crores on the 31st of March. On the consolidated basis, our total debt was 1,011 crores on June 30th compared to 913 crores on March 31st, 23 and 1,617.5 crores on June 30th, 22. The overall cost of funds stood at 6.7% in Q1. I would also like to mention that the earnings per share increased by 12% to 3.09 rupees per share. I'd like to spend the next few minutes talking in a little more detail about the various business segments. And turning to the sugar business, as I mentioned earlier, the reported lower turnover was due to lower domestic dispatches. The contribution of sugar sold in Q1 was higher by 880 rupees per ton over the previous quarter in view of the higher realization. So during the quarter, we achieved exports of 14,500 tons out of our total quota of 205 approximate 1,000 tons, of which the majority was achieved in fiscal 23. Export realizations were at a considerable premium to domestic prices, and we actually performed rather well in terms of our pricing ability, and our later pricing, frankly speaking, actually turned out quite well for the company in terms of our average realizations for exports. The sugar inventory on June 30th stood at 43.44 lakh quintals, valued at 33.6 rupees per kilo. The cogeneration operations during the same period achieved revenues of 12.65 crores, and our realization for our prices as of yesterday, for refined sugar, we're receiving prices of 3,700 to 3,720 rupees per quintal, and sulfitation sugar is approximately 3,650 to 3,670 rupees per quintal. Looking at the performance of the sugar business, on a year-on-year period, we achieved a crush in fiscal 23 of 1.58 million tons of sugarcane versus 1.8. But if you look at the sugar season, we actually achieved a crush of 9.3 million tons of sugarcane during sugar season 22-23, which was 10.8% higher than the previous corresponding year. In terms of total sugar, as you know, the recoveries were slightly lower. However, the sugar production in tons was in excess of 950,000 tons of sugar, which was substantially higher, 7.5% higher than the previous sugar season. Looking at the industry scenario for the season 22-23, the All India production is estimated to be 32.3 million tons for this sugar year. As of the end of June 23, Uttar Pradesh had produced 10.5 million tons of sugar compared to 10.2 million tons at the same time last year, while Maharashtra's production has declined from 13.7 million tons to 10.5 million tons by the end of June due to lower sugarcane yields and of course inclement weather. In Karnataka, three mills had restarted their operations for the special season, and the state has collectively produced about 5.5 million tons of sugar compared to 5.83 million tons of sugar produced during the same period last year. ISMA has estimated that the All India sugar production, my apologies, will be 32.8 million tons after considering a diversion of approximately 4 million tons of sugar equivalent into ethanol. With an opening balance on the 1st of October 22 of 7 million tons, production of 32.8, domestic sales of 27.5 million tons, and approximately 6 odd million tons of sugar exports. The closing stock is estimated to be about 6 million tons of sugar, which is rather good. It is just in excess of 2 months of consumption, and that those are the levels that should be correctly maintained in the country. On an international basis, there's been actually quite a lot of activity. The global sugar balance sheet is pointing to a surplus for 22-23, which is contrary to what we had discussed on our last earnings call. There's been a bumper sugarcane crop and production in Brazil. For 23-24, the season commencing April, the center south, Brazil is expected to have the strongest agricultural yield in many years, and an availability of 612 million tons and sugar production of 38.8 million tons, a 15% increase over the previous season. In Thailand, another important market to consider, we expect a subdued production. International estimates look at a 10% year-on-year drop in the 23-24 sugarcane crush for Thailand to about 85 million tons of sugarcane, looking at sugar production of under 10 million tons, just under 10 million tons, a very sharp decrease. And this is primarily due to an El Nino effect, which has led to droughts in many regions, and a slightly later start to the rainy season in Thailand. All considered, international sugar prices have remained remarkably firm. The New York No. 11 raw sugar futures contract broke the 27 cents per pound threshold earlier in the year. However, it's reported a mixed trend later, and especially during the quarter. Prices have hovered around 25 cents per pound in this quarter, with the lowest price noticed towards the end of the July contract. The No. 11 forward month is trading around 24.8 cents, which is still remarkably firm. And white sugar contracts are also, the number 5 is also at record highs. Prices have recovered and are approximately about $700 per ton. Again, given the excess sugar availability in the forward few quarters, these robust prices indicate the kind of sentiment in the sugar sector, which is very, very buoyant. Turning to the alcohol business, our additional capacities commissioned in fiscal 23 have resulted in the highest ever production in a quarter. Despite having record alcohol productions and orders in hand, the alcohol sales in the quarter were lower than we anticipated, and this was primarily due to offtake issues at the end of the OMCs at certain depots. However, I'm happy to report that these were temporary challenges and the situation has improved vastly since then, and we're back on track, hopefully to even make up for lost ground in Q1 of this year. During the quarter, the sale of alcohol produced from sugarcane-based feedstocks formed 64%, while grain was the balance at 36%. It's important to highlight that during the previous corresponding quarter, there were no grain operations. Accordingly, the overall profit margin was slightly lower in the current quarter as compared to the same period of last year, and this is with the margin associated with grain operations, which is lower than the heavy molasses operation margins. Ethanol constituted 91% of alcohol sales for the quarter under review. Now, looking at the industry scenario, of the 559 crore litres that were finalised by the OMCs, out of a requirement of 600 crore litres, contracts were actually formed for 553 crore litres. Against this, 351 crore litres have been lifted by OMCs up to July 9th, and we're looking at an average blending of 11.75% till July 9th. Now, that's extremely good considering the target's 12%. We're right on track. Of the total contracted quantity, as I had mentioned, sugarcane-based feedstocks collectively contribute 71%, with the heavy, of course, being the highest. And the balance is contributed by surplus rice of 26% and damaged food grain of 4%. Presently, the Food Corporation of India has suspended supplies of surplus rice for the production of ethanol. Looking at the engineering businesses, I'd like to take up the power transmission business first, where we had quite a remarkable quarter where profitability and turnover increased quite dramatically. Profitability increased by almost 110% and turnover increased by 77.8%. Very strong export performance in the supply of API gearboxes to the Americas and Europe and compressor gears and gearboxes to Europe and China. Profitability margins also improved quite dramatically to 34% in Q1 versus 28.8% in the previous corresponding quarter. And this was due to lower raw material costs and an optimization of SG&A, both areas that we have worked very, very hard on coming out of the COVID experience. The growth in order book during the quarter is driven by growth in critical sectors such as steel, oil and gas, and steam turbine compressor and pumps as the OEM segment. The outstanding order book, as I mentioned, stands at 271.63 crores. Towards the water business, the revenues declined marginally due to a delay in execution in certain projects. So the business is actively targeting foreign projects wherever it possesses the pre-qualifications and funding, and where funding is assured through multilateral and reputed agencies. This is very important. It is a strategic shift where we were looking just at domestic markets and regional markets. Now we've broad-based ourselves and looking at a vast, much larger canvas, and we hope that we will be able to come back to you with greater successes in international markets. As you're well aware, we have two projects in the international markets already that are under execution in the Maldives and in Bangladesh. The closing order book stood at 1,341 crores, which includes some O&M contracts which are over a longer period of time. Turning very briefly to the outlook of the businesses in sugar, we have continued, we continue to focus very seriously on yield improvement initiatives by our farmers, adopting the best agricultural practices, continuous engagement and demonstration, etc., and also varietal replacement. This has been, of course, we will be looking at increasing crushing capacities in sync with our sugar cane availability. The company is also in the process of increasing its refined sugar production, which stood at 60% for the last year, to 70% with the change in manufacturing process at our sugar unit at Milak Narayanpur. The activities that I had previously spoken about 3 months ago pertaining to modernization, debottlenecking, and efficiency improvement are all underway, which will enhance both the bottom line most significantly as well as the top line. The condition of the sugarcane crop and rainfall has been satisfactory in our catchment area of all 7 of our sugar mills. And we are hopeful that there will be good climatic conditions for the subsequent period. And this is critical. The next 3 months are critical. We do want a little bit of rain, but not too much. We certainly want a dry September. That is very crucial for operations to start at the end of October, which is what we're forecasting for the next year. In the alcohol business, we've been a strong supporter of the government's ethanol blending program. We've bolstered our capabilities quite substantially, of course, raised our capacities from 320 KLPD to 660 KLPD last year. And of course, you are well aware that we are on our way to achieving 1110 KLPD in the future. In the power transmission business, there's very high demand that we're witnessing over the last few months, I would say. I think there's been a resurgence in demand globally across the sectors that I was talking about. The product segment domestically is really looking at growth in the steel, cement, waste heat recovery, and oil and gas. Internationally, of course, you have growth in these sectors among and a few others. Interestingly, we're seeing substantial growth in all of our OEM customer bases. Steam turbines, gas turbines, pumps, and compressors, domestically and internationally. Again, this bodes very well for the future. And our focus is very much on market share gains when we are looking at the international market as our canvas. In the defense segment, the business expects increased order booking for key segments of turbine packaging, gearboxes, special application pumps, and we have several RFPs that are coming up to the stage of conclusion over the next few months. And so hopefully I will have very good news potentially by the next time that we speak, or maybe in the next quarter, but hopefully by the next time that we speak. In the water business, the demand for reliable water and wastewater treatment solutions is on the rise in India and in international markets. And apart from participating in domestic projects, we are expanding our global footprint, establishing strategic global partnerships, and fostering mutually beneficial relationships with key stakeholders. So, at Triveni Way, we find ourselves strategically positioned in order to capitalize on all the growth opportunities across all of our verticals. And I'd be very happy to answer any of the questions that you have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Rajesh Mazumdar from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So I had a few questions. Firstly, on the ethanol supply part, we have heard about some slowdown in offtake by the OMCs, and your mix also in 1Q is suggesting that you've been able to sell mostly grain-based ethanol and a little bit DAP. So is there any change in that in this quarter, and will the B-heavy mix change in the coming quarter or the next one or two quarters? That's the first question.
Let me ask Mr. Sinha to answer that.
Going forward, all the decantation issues have largely been resolved. You must understand that it was not a generic problem. It was unfortunately that as a coincidence, quite a few of our depots were impacted. We were supplying a large quantum to Gujarat, where Biparjoy, washed away a large portion of the logistics, and therefore the offtake for petrol came down, and therefore the offtake for ethanol. And similarly, Mathura refinery had some issues, both in terms of approvals and pipeline renovations and maintenance issues. And similar was the case with one or two other depots, and that was the reason for this temporary blip. The situation has significantly improved over the period of time, and going forward we'll also be supplying B-heavy. However, it will largely be in terms of a similar product mix. However, we going forward we are also evaluating the feedstock challenge coming in from SPI stoppage of surplus rice. So we are dynamically evaluating the situation. We have got enough stocks of not only grain but also of molasses. So therefore, over a period of time, depending on which way we go, we'll enhance our or change our product mix to give us the most optimal results. And also, we must note that we are at the end of July and our mills are supposed to start in October, and therefore, to that extent, it's not a very long period of time which may impact us going forward.
But let me just sort of encapsulate this by saying that we do not see any interruption to operations.
Okay, and a related question, sir. We've been hearing about some claimers on reduction of usage of broken rice by the government. So will that be impacting our production going forward? That's why I asked the question on the mix, because we've been hearing a lot of...
Can you repeat that question, please?
So we've been hearing about some notification or some announcement by the government to stop using broken rice for ethanol this particular year because of the impact of El Nino or something.
That's incorrect. And there is no notification to that effect. However, SCI has stopped allocating surplus rice for the production of ethanol. As a matter of fact, they've stopped allocating surplus rice for anything, which includes for the production of ethanol. Broken rice, which is available through the open market, is still available. It is at a higher price right now. But as you know, the government has banned the export of non-basmati rice, and we've already started seeing a softness in broken rice and the rice markets across the nation. And we anticipate that even in the next few days, we will be able to at least start getting much better prices for broken rice.
So you're clearly guiding that the grain-based margins can actually improve in this quarter.
No, that's not what I'm saying. The grain, broken rice is available at a higher price than FCI rice. FCI rice has stopped. We will have to then look at what is available and at what price points. What my colleague had just mentioned is we have a sufficient quantity even of heavy molasses that can be allocated for production of ethanol in the next few months until the next season starts. So we are re-looking at what is the mix of our input. And then that, of course, will have an impact on margins. I do anticipate that given the move that GOI has taken, there will be short-term and medium-term repercussions in terms of pricing. So I do anticipate that the government will relook at pricing, given where the price points of all these inputs are, of all the raw materials for ethanol manufacturing are. And I expect that some of the announcements will start very soon, and then of course we will get many more as we approach the next ethanol year. So I don't think it is, this is the given scenario, but I think the government is acutely aware of the challenges that is being faced by the industry and is will hopefully act in a very, very rapid manner.
Right, sir. And so my other question was, can we get an idea of the capital employed in the businesses like transmission and the municipal business separately? And the capital allocation in these businesses for the company, and how much of the debt of the company is coming from the municipal business?
You know, if you look at the capital employed, our results duly provide all this information in terms of segment assets and segment liabilities.
Yeah, so I wanted the breakup between the power transmission and the
It is very much there. It's very much there. You know, if you look at the breakup over there, the breakup is given for sugar, distillery, power transmission, water, and others.
Yeah, and the debt in the municipal business, sir?
Debt in the business is not much. It is in the region of about 50-60 crores as of now. I'm basically talking about the water business. Now, coming back to your specific question on power transmission, we have total segment assets of 206 crores. And we have segment liabilities of 62 crores. So, in other words, the capital employed is about 150 crores for that business.
Right. So, you are
Mr.
saying...
Mr. Mazumdar, I request you to join back the queue, sir, as there are other participants waiting. Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Shailesh Kanani from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. And thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations, sir, on decent performance, given that it was a challenging quarter. So my first question is with respect to FCI rice suspension. So how does it influence our future CAPEX plans, and how do we read this? And do we have a revised guidance on ethanol sales with respect to this? And also the mix, if it would change, if upward revision in the ethanol price, what you just alluded to, doesn't happen. So how does that shape up?
So you've asked a question that is pretty much on everybody's minds. I mean, you know, given this quick reaction in terms of FCI price, what is the future of the program? And frankly speaking, the distillery business for Triveni. I have to say three things on this matter. The first thing is that I've always been advocating for multi-feed distilleries. So you know, the availability of molasses or sugarcane-based raw material, the availability of grain and other grains, etc., is going to vary over a period of time. And therefore, the establishment of multi-feed distilleries is the only true answer. As you know, we have pioneered this approach for the industry. There are many others that are doing the same now, and we will continue to. And as you know, the 450 KLPD that we're setting up are both multi-feed plants. Now, that is point one. Point two is, well, what is the specific impact of the recent policy changes and non-availability of FCI rights? I think it's too early to tell, right? Very frankly speaking. It's too early to tell for two reasons. Number one, we're expecting an increase in, an interim increase in pricing for ethanol. It is seriously being looked at from what I understand. I don't quite know what the quantums are. Only when we know we're in a business which is heavily determined by market prices. So if the relative prices of other feedstocks changes, the dynamics will change. So what I would like to leave you with is that this is not a little pebble in the way, but we will surpass it, and we're still on track. I mean, we've done 11.75% ethanol blending thus far. We're on track on having a significantly higher level of percentage of blending this year versus last year. I do think that everybody will have to be nimble and change their strategies. We too will do that. It's very difficult for me to share with you what that will be today, because I don't know what the change in price will be, which is what I'm anticipating. Once I know that, I'll be in a better position. But you should feel comforted with the fact that we at Triveni have multi-feed distilleries. So we have that operational flexibility to be able to shift from one to the other.
So just to follow up on that, I understand for existing facilities, we are kind of, backward integrated with molasses as the feedstock. But I was just thinking about the expansion, which we are going from 660 to 1100. On that visibility, are we going to delay because of this? I just wanted to understand that.
No, the Rani Nangal facility is very much on track. As I had mentioned even on the last call, that we're attempting for the Rani Nangal facility to be operational in Q4 of this fiscal year. That remains unchanged. As far as the new facility at Sabitgarh is concerned, it was going to come up a short time after that. That still very much remains on track. Having said that, if there is any change to that project, it will be dependent on the next level of pricing announcements, which I expect imminently. So I think we will be in a better position to judge what we do with the second project. But right now it remains on track.
So is it fair to assume that our earlier guidance of ethanol sales remains as of now the same, right?
As of now, the guidance remains absolutely the same.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. That's useful. So, sir, my second question was with respect to PTB division, which is performing excellently well. Right. So are there any one-offs during the quarter? Because first quarter is normally a little subdued, but this time around the numbers were excellent. And if you can shed some light about the capex plans and what kind of asset turn we can see going ahead in, say, medium to long term for the division.
Okay. So I can't offer you asset turn data because we're investing very heavily in the business, and that's going to change from our historical numbers. And I don't have that calculation to share with you today. But I can share with you that your observation is absolutely on point. Typically, Q1 for us has always been a light quarter. And this year we've had 78% increase in turnover, 110% increase in profitability. It's happened because of two reasons. The first fundamental reason is of our overall revenues for the quarter, 30% is from export. So we see a huge bump in export revenues in Q1, which is typically always lower. With that expanded canvas, and we're seeing a massive amount of activity in API as well as in API segments, which is oil and gas segments in North America and Western Europe. And we're also seeing compressor work happening in Europe, as I mentioned, and in Asia as well. We've seen a huge number of domestic and international customers that supply into that market increasing their demand. It bodes very, very well. Our order booking has risen. I expect it to rise quite a lot more. Q1 is always a light quarter for both of them. So, to see both revenues and order booking jump is what we had expected, very frankly speaking, and we've finally been able to convert it into performance. I think, while I don't talk about expectations, etc., we're very well positioned in those markets. You have to understand that globally, the customers that we're selling to all have operations in India, and we all sell to them, and we have very high market shares with the same customers. Now, it's about translating that relationship into a global one, and while it might take, it's something that is a short to medium term target, we're seeing the dividends of that already. Turning to the capex, we have approximately 100 crores that the board has sanctioned in terms of expansion of our existing facility and the development of and the acquisition and development of the defense manufacturing facility also in Mysore, very close to the original manufacturing facility in Metagali. That is very well underway. Orders have all been placed for the machinery and work is on at the site as well. We're anticipating that some part of that 100 crores will be made, will be commissioned and made operational in this fiscal year, and the balance will be done by Q2 of the next fiscal year. So we're very much on track, and I think we were ahead of the gun. We recognized that there were longer term deliveries for some of these very complex, very highly sought after CNC machines that come from you know, Germany and other European countries, you know, large cap, you know, multi-million euro machines, and you know, those we predicted it, therefore we placed the orders, and so now we're well positioned. In terms of execution, we're very much on track.
So just last question from my side. So there is a note in the results that there is a new joint venture, namely Trivini Sports Private Limited. Just wanted to understand the purpose and capital allocation there. And also, if you can just want to highlight, I think the board meeting was on the longer side, that would have thought so, five, more than 5 years. If you want to highlight anything specific for the board meeting, that's all from my side. Thanks a lot.
I'm sorry, I did not understand the last half of your question.
So my second half of the question was, sir, I just noticed that the board meeting for the reserve for more than 5 hours. So if anything specific you would like to highlight, which was discussed.
You know, in our case, in the board meeting, apart from the results, etc., we have multiple businesses over there. Lot of businesses, all the business performance of the business, outlook, etc., everything is discussed in the board meeting. So obviously, it takes much longer time. You would appreciate that it's not just a sugar company; it has got other engineering businesses as well. So that's one of the reasons why it should take more time.
And with respect to the new company, it is a 50-50 venture between Triveni Engineering and Industries Limited, and the other 50% is owned by Triveni Turbine. We have created this company because it reflects an opportunity that was placed in us to be part of the Mahindra Global Chess League. I'm happy to report that we actually won the tournament. And we will be receiving the prize money, etc., that will come with that. I don't have the exact numbers with me just now. The purpose really is to be able to foster this involvement in this very very interesting area, which leads and lends its properties towards our businesses of excellence, of great individuality, of great team play, etc. So, you know, the properties of the business, of the sport rather, lend itself towards the Triveni brand very, very much so. And we feel that it is an important association and one that we would like to foster. In terms of the total capital deployment for Triveni Engineering, right now it's only been 2.5 crores.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. That's quite useful.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question from the line of Nitin Navin Kumar Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Triveni being one of those rare companies which is also into grain ENA manufacturing, I would just want to understand two things in that business. One, what was the broken price you were purchasing before the FCI ban? What was the price at which you were purchasing, and what has it changed to now?
So coming back to the issue of the purchase price of DFG, we had purchased it at a price of about around 20 rupees and kept it in stock for us. And we have the flexibility also to produce ethanol from the same facilities, and we were largely into ethanol at that point of time. Coming back, and we will be going out, as we did mention that the DFG prices had gone up, but we expect with the ban on exports that the prices will soften, and we'll also look at that alternative for producing both ethanol and DNA.
So the price for broken rice right now in Uttar Pradesh and North India is about 24 rupees per kilo. And there's certainly a softness. This was the price before the ban. We've seen a softness and we've seen a reluctance of a lot of quantity to come to the market, which will have to come to the market. That optic has to happen. It will certainly happen at lower rates. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. That does answer my question. The second part of the question is, being ENA being a market linked commodity, which is not basically determined, prices are not determined or there is no interference from the government, will there be an uptick or are you seeing an uptick in the grain ENA prices? So at least that part, our margins are safe.
Our sales of ENA are largely for our own consumption in our country liquor business. However, the prices which we did mention the last time were at around 63 to 65 rupees. In some cases, the transactions have gone up to 67 rupees, so that there could be a pass-through in terms of the pricing, in terms of the increase in the DFG prices getting passed on to the consumer.
Understood, sir. So last question, if I may, there's been a talk of a maize policy because of which this FCI move might have come in play. Have you heard anything of any of that sort, that there's a maize policy in play which might come in and basically shift the focus of the industry from rice to maize?
The government has been very vocal in saying that maize is a very viable raw material for the production of ethanol. One has to remember that A, right now is not the maize season, firstly. Number two, the variety of maize that is grown in the country will need to change if we're looking at an energy maize change and we're looking at maize. So, you know, those two things, it's a medium-term issue to tackle. It is not a short-term. It will definitely be dependent on price. You will have to offer an attractive price for the industry to go out and develop that supply chain and for farmers to be encouraged to grow this. The one thing that you should note is that, you know, India produces a large quantum of maize. Only 10% of it is for human consumption. The balance portion of 9-10 odd million tons goes towards
feedstock,
animal feed. And so, you know, at the end of the day, even if we're using the policy behind the government's thought, I would imagine, is that even if you're using maize to produce ethanol, the effluent is DDGS, which is animal feed. So, you know, you're solving two problems. But there is a pricing issue, and I think it's not a big policy as such. It will just be determined by a declaration of price, which I'm anticipating soon.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rajiv Agarwal from Sterling Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. I just have a question on your defense business. So you are planning to set up a dedicated multimodal facility for defense products. So what would be the quantum of investment in this business? And my second related question is that out of your order book of 271 crores, how much it is from the defense business?
So, of the 100 crores that's been invested in PPB, the investment in the new defense facility is 40 crores. And this will be executed by this time next year. It will be operational by this time next year. With respect to our order booking, part of it is executable this year, part of it is part of our longer-term order booking, and it's approximately 80 crores, approximately. I don't have the exact number with me right now.
Out of 271, 80 crores is from defense business.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Nikhil Jain from Galaxy International. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Two questions. First, so in this quarter, our distillery volumes have actually gone up very significantly, but the margins have correspondingly not gone up. So any specific reason for that? So if you can just highlight.
Yeah. I'll give you I spoke about it in my opening comments. It's not an apples to apples comparison. In the quarter under review, we had 64% of our production from molasses and 36% from grain. Grain has lower margins. In the previous corresponding quarter, it was 100% for B-heavy, and therefore it regards the B-heavy margin rate. That is the difference in the margin, primarily.
Okay, so grain is more remunerative in that sense. If you get it at the same,
grain is less remunerative.
Less remunerative. Okay. So is there any specific reason for us to actually go for grain then? Is there a shortage of molasses or let's say we just want to ensure dual feed?
So you see, this is again what I was talking about. We're setting up multi-feed distilleries. So, if the price of ethanol derived from juice goes up, we have the capacities to be able to divert to that. In the interim, while the prices aren't at a level that we're happy with, we can certainly use grain because the returns from grain are still also very good. The five-year project payback approximately with grain, which is really still not bad at all. So it may be different from B-heavy molasses, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't meet the investment hurdles of the company.
Okay. And my second question is that, is there any thoughts on demerging the engineering business?
I'm sorry?
Demerging.
No, there is, the board has not taken up the issue of demerger.
Okay, sure. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Varun Gajaria from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay, great. So just had two questions, very basic questions. First, how do you see the revenue and defense, especially from the defense segment, trending for the next 2-3 years? What's the outlook there? And what is the relative asset turnover that you're expecting on the 40 crore investment that you're making in the defense?
So, we typically don't give any forward-looking statements on any of our businesses. I can only tell you that the opportunity is quite large. Our inquiry book is many, many times the size of our order book today. However, with defense, the one thing that I must mention is that the closure of orders, or the award of orders, is not in our hands. So it is very much like our water business. Things can get delayed, and typically things do get delayed. So it's a game of patience, but the market is absolutely enormous. As a consequence, because I'm not giving any forward-looking statements, I can't really tell you what our asset turns are going to be in that business going forward. But we do have investment hurdles within the company. We look at returns, post-tax returns of at least 15% to 16% for any decision, and we're certainly ahead of that range for this particular business as well.
So you typically look for 50% to 60% returns on an order, right?
No, I said our investment hurdles are 15% to 16% post-tax.
Okay.
This will be ahead of that.
Okay. And on the grain and molasses mix with the new distillery coming into picture, how will the mix be going forward? Like, what is the mix that you're looking at?
That's a very good question. It's a very good question. But the answer to that question is not something that I can offer today, because for future supplies, the mix will be dependent on what the future prices are. So I'm anticipating that there will be two increases in prices, one in the near term and one by the start of the new ethanol year, before the start of the new ethanol year, which will probably be in September or so. Based on that, we will be able to give you a better idea of exactly what that mix will be. At today's point, there's no point posturing an answer, simply because we know it's going to change, and that will affect our strategy of mix. But as I mentioned to the previous caller, the advantage that we have is we have multi-feed distilleries that allow us that flexibility. We also have multi-product where we can produce both ENA as well as ethanol to some extent, which allows us flexibility on the output side as well.
Right. Right. And especially in the power transmission segment, are there any short-term orders that you also undertake? Because in the past, it's been seen that the revenue in the next year, in the succeeding year, is marginally, let's say, a little bit higher than what your order book was. If I'm missing out something there.
I'm sorry, I cannot follow your question.
Okay, so just had a small question that are there any short-term models that you also undertake in the power transmission segment? Because
yes, we do. Typically, our orders are 6 to 7 months approximately, mm-hmm. and our repair and service orders could be as short as 2 months.
Right, because in the past it's been seen that the order book in the preceding year. And the revenues in the succeeding year, there's a little bit of mismatch, so which is why I had a query on this.
Understood.
Okay, so it's a mix of short-term and long-term orders, right?
There's a bump. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you for answering my questions and have a great week.
Thank you.
A reminder to participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. We have a question from the line of Parag Somani from ICRA India. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Good morning, sir. I just had one question. This is regarding the ethanol supply to OMCs. So as you mentioned in your investor highlights that 553 crores of ethanol has been contracted by OMCs. So can you share the quantum of contracts sealed by Triveni and out of that, how much we have supplied till Q1 24 and the quantum that we'll be supplying for the next 2 quarters till December?
So we have about 17.5 crores from OMCs and we have supplied about 11 crores so far. And over there, and the rest we'll be supplying. We'll meet all our obligations to OMCs under this ethanol supply year.
Okay, and just a follow-up on that, I believe our ethanol capacity is much more larger than the numbers you have mentioned. So do we see, is there any scope where we can supply beyond the contracted capacity out of contract supplies that we can do? Or we can bring more contracts?
We're operating at very, very high levels of production efficiency. So at this particular point in time, we have 660 KLPD, and we're operating that at near 100% levels of operations. So there isn't any much more scope to expand it.
And this ESY was for 11 months period. You must realize that. We have already given our guidance earlier, in terms of what we supplied in the last financial year, and we were supposed to be supplying in the upcoming financial year, FY24.
Okay, so that means we have contracted capacity for the complete production capacity of...
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. That was my question. Thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of K. Mohan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sir, you said next year...
I'm sorry, sir. You're not audible. Please use your handset mode.
Yeah, I'm using the handset. One second. Hello?
Please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Very faintly, so you'll have to speak a little louder.
One second.
Please go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead. Mr. K. Mohan, we can hear you. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello.
So we can hear you. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello.
Since there is no response, we are moving on to the next question from the line of Amarnath Bhagat from Ministry of Finance of Oman. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. I have two set of questions. Number one, new sports business coming under this umbrella of Triveni. Just trying to understand the rationale of involving this company and allocating capital to a completely unrelated business of sports. Can you please give a little more light? What was the rationale behind going there?
Absolutely. And I just answered the question just a few minutes ago. The capital that's been allocated is 2.5 crores thus far to Triveni Sports Limited, private limited. And it is for a team in the Mahindra Global Chess League, which it's a commitment for several years. The first tournament finished in Dubai. It was attended by all the top leading women and men's grandmasters around the world, and the Triveni team actually won the trophy. Now, the reason and rationale for associating to this is really is the properties that is involved in the sport of chess is very much associated with the properties that we associate with at Triveni Engineering, of excellence, of individual leadership, of team leadership, of diligence, and of strategy. Those properties are very much part and parcel of the mantra that we have at Triveni Engineering, and it is part of our brand recognition and future marketing message. So there was a great deal of thought that was given into entering and into making this decision, and that is the reason.
So is there any plan to allocate more capital or going big in this particular strategy of the company?
No, nothing terribly significant.
Okay. And second thing, you know, this was the discussion many times even before. Triveni Engineering is a mixing of this commodity business, which is very cyclical in nature, and other side of the business, which is very prominent and outlook is extremely good in respect of that power transmission and engineering side of the business. Now, is there in the future to value unlock for the shareholder? Is there any plan on the table either now or somewhere to think for this demerger? Because, you know, this really doesn't work well for a complete commodity company, and one side is cyclical business, one side is a structurally good business with a long-term visibility as of today. You mix together, and, you know, we as a shareholder get confused if we want which type of the business to invest. If we want the power business, I have to take care of the cyclical or sugar business as well, where most of the things is not in the control of the management. In fact, something government, something international price, something internal building is changed time to time based on what the government decides. So just try to understand, is there any plan, any thought process in the management to demerge these two entities or two sides of the business?
I think first let me start by saying that your point is noted, and we've made a note of it, and of course your views is something that we will have to reflect on. But in terms of demerger of any of our businesses in any form is something that has to be discussed at the board level before I can discuss it with shareholders or with the investing public. At this point in time, the board has not discussed any plans of demerger. The last time this subject was discussed was several years ago, seven years ago, and at that particular point in time, the board had, in its determination, said that it is not a matter of if they will be demerged, but a matter of when they will be demerged, depending on their relative sizes, depending on the market conditions, and a whole host of other factors. So that disclosure was made many years ago, and it still remains in force today. But I can tell you, we had a board meeting yesterday. The subject of demerger was not discussed at that meeting.
The last part of the
Mr. Parker, I request you to join back the queue, sir, as there are other participants waiting.
Okay.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Tejas Sonawane from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Firstly, we are witnessing very high rainfall in many parts of India. So do we foresee any kind of impact on sugar cane production in the state of UP going ahead?
The rainfall so far has been very, very good, and this is the grand growth period of the plant crop and of the entire crop rather, and therefore we expect that this will be very beneficial. However, it has to be within certain limits, and so far it has been within those limits. In case the intensity increases significantly going forward, only then there will be issues of water being discharged and some submergence of areas, but which it has not happened. Our crop is very good, and so is the reports from the state of UP.
Okay, understood. Secondly, the government has recently announced an increase in MRP pricing. So what is your sense on the overall SAP announcement which could come through for the next season?
I'm sorry, you have to repeat that question. We couldn't hear you.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Am I audible now? Yeah, so the government has recently announced an increase in the MRP of sugarcane. So any sense on the announcement of the SAP side as well for the upcoming season?
You know, it's a good question because we have a general election coming up next year, etc. But I think you can only rely on past data. And in the last 7 years, the Uttar Pradesh government has been extremely considered in its announcements of SAP. And I will lead you to all the data over the last 7 years. It has keenly looked at all market participants, the farmers, the industry, the consumers, in making that determination. And frankly speaking, if there is an increase, I can confidently say that it will be one that will be taken in the most considered of manners, and it will not be any arbitrary increase that people have said that it has happened in that industry. So at this particular point in time, it's very difficult to say if there will be an increase or how much that increase will be if there is an increase. I think the better time will be around about November of this year when that determination will be made. However, I would re-emphasize that I have great confidence in the Uttar Pradesh government in making the right decision.
Okay, that was very helpful. So one last thing, you mentioned that we are seeing some uptake issues from the OMC. So could you please elaborate on the kind of issues we are witnessing from the OMC side in terms of the uptake of ethanol?
No, in our case, it were not generic issues. These were specific issues which I mentioned just a little while back, and they related to three sets of regions. One was in Gujarat, which was hit by Bipar Choy, and all our the orders which had to be fulfilled. And we had quite a few depots in Gujarat, right from Hazirat northwards. And we found that there was virtually no decantation, huge queues. Similarly, in Mathura refinery, they had issues of pipelines and of certain approvals which were required, and that got resolved early July or very, very late June, you would say. And third were a couple of, again, depots in Punjab, which were getting supplies from one of the BPCL refineries, which had an issue with their with the pipeline, etc. So these, coincidentally, all happened together. They were bunched together in our case. But now they have all been resolved, and we are not talking of any generic issues impacting the offtake by the OMC. Of course, there are certain teething issues which remain, but they keep on getting resolved in our mutual interaction with the OMCs.
Okay, understood. That was all from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us for Q1 Fiscal 24 Earnings Review of Triveni Engineering and Industries Limited. As I mentioned, I think we have a very exciting 3 months. You know, the sugar business, we have to look forward to the weather and the growth period. And of course, by the time we speak next, the factories may very well have started, so quite exciting on that front. On the ethanol front, I think the greatest excitement is going to be around pricing and the strategies that arise around the pricing. Within power transmission, it's going to be really about global focus and the development of deeper relationships with global customers. And lastly, in water, again with a renewed and larger landscape, I think we're in a better position, and hopefully we'll have more positive news to share with you a few months from now. Thank you very much and have a good afternoon. Goodbye.
Thank you. On behalf of Triveni Engineering and Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.